as you search through the headlines, you see things such as sexual misconduct. You see things such as shootings, of wildfires, of rumors of war, and one label we can put on almost all of that is joyless. But there is not a lot of things that bring joy in our typical news cycles and in the information that's out there right now. And then on the side note, what's really interesting and almost ironic is that we have these joyless headlines, and then right afterwards, it's followed by commercials. And whether it's a commercial for a pharmaceutical company or for Ginsu knives or magic bullet food processors or whatever, they leave you with the impression that if you only buy this product, that you will have joy, that something unmet need is going to be met. And to some degree, we can get sucked into these as well, right? I mean, it's something stupid like a food processor. And if we're not careful, we get done watching it and we think, how can I not breathe another breath without that magic bullet, right? You feel like there's something missing if you don't have it. But it both leads us to the same conclusion. And it's that what our culture calls joy is not what Christ came to bring, is not what we heard read this morning, that we saw demonstrated here. And as our Advent reading this morning was from the prophecy and from the beginning of Christ's time here on earth, I want to read to you from John chapter 15. This is as Jesus is preparing for his death, for his departing. And starting in verse 9 of chapter 15, Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's, and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." So far in this discourse of Jesus, it's called his farewell discourse. It's a section of scripture as he prepares for his death. He has promised it, he's promised his peace, his love, and now his joy. And I just want to end our time this morning with a few thoughts on this joy. By the way, do you know what it means when a pastor says just a few thoughts? Absolutely nothing, right? But we note that this joy talked about in John chapter 15, it's that it's his joy in us. Verse 11 says that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. His joy in us. This joy that Christ brings is not like the things we see on television. It's not what our culture would call joy. It's not a substitute. In fact, human joy and what our culture calls joy is often shallow. It's often incomplete. It's always changing and decaying. It's fleeting. You know, and even at times on this earth when we can touch true joy, it almost has left us before we can appreciate it. In C.S. Lewis's Weight of Glory, he describes touching joy this way. "We usually notice it just as the moment the vision dies away, as the music ends or the landscape loses its celestial light. What we feel then has been well described by Keats It is the journey homeward to the self. You know what I mean. For a few minutes, we had the illusion of belonging to this magical world. But now we wake up to find that it is no such thing. We have been mere spectators. Beauty has smiled, but she has not welcomed us. Her face was turned in our direction, but she did not look to see us. We have not been accepted or welcome or taken into the dance. Even when we find places of joy on this earth, it is still fleeting. But yet this joy is not the joy that Christ speaks of. And so as we talk about this joy in Scripture, we talk about His joy that abides in us. It's not fleeting, it abides, it lives, it remains within us. A joy that isn't fickle or fleeting, but one that remains. It is a joy that abides in us, and it is a joy that is full. The second half of verse 11, Jesus says, that your joy may be full. It's a fullness of joy, a joy that is so full that there's no room for substitutes. No room for lesser joys. Things to get in the way and to steal. Many of you who are here regularly or know me has heard about my affinity to potato chips, right? A lot of the guys that ride and train with me know that there's never a hot dog that I haven't loved, right, that I can pass up. And normally, if you put a hot dog in front of me, it is not safe. But you know when it is safe? Is when there's also set in front of me a big steak, maybe some garlic, mashed potatoes, some steamed vegetables, a salad, a feast that's in front of you. No one would ever accept the potato chips and the hot dogs when the feast is before you. And in the same way, Jesus says, I give you a joy that is full, that leaves no room for substitutes. There's no room for hot dogs in this joy that Christ brings. And it's a joy that is available to all. These words of Jesus in John chapter 15 are signposts to joy. And I think of our culture that we can say is a joyless culture. As we look out and we see people who need joy and need a fullness of joy, we see here in John chapter 15 that there are directions on where to lead people. You know, for us men, there's a stereotype that I think is generally true. We do not like to ask for directions. Amen, guys? Right? Isn't Google Maps the greatest thing that has saved our pride? Right? There's a lot of technology that we can turn our head. But Google Maps has saved us as men so much, right? Anyway, we don't like to ask for directions, but right here in Scripture are the directions to true joy. Jesus says, look at my example. He says, I have joy because I abide in my Father's love. And I abide in His love because I obey His commands. Matter of fact, that's a theme in John. If you were to read the book of John through, one of the things you'd see Jesus saying time and time again is, I am here to do my Father's will. I am here to do what the Father sent me to do. I am obeying my Father's commands. Here Jesus says that is a source of his joy. And he says, now if you want joy as well, a fullness of joy, you go and do the same thing. He says, abide in my love. And maybe the disciples are hearing it, and in their mind they say, okay, Jesus, abide in your love. What does that mean? How do I abide in your love? And Jesus says, well, I'm really glad that you asked that. Because verse 10 says exactly how we abide in the love of Christ. It says what? Obey my commandments. Abide in my love, and you abide in Jesus' love by obedience. And here we stop and we think, it's no wonder that the world gets joy confused, that the world gets joy wrong, because the world gets obedience wrong. What is the message when we think of obedience? Drudgery, just sort of a terrible feeling. We don't want to be obedient. Seems to go against everything that we are. But what we learn here in scriptures is Jesus says, obedience is not drudgery. It's a source of joy. It is the pathway, the signpost to true joy, to a full joy, to a complete joy. And I think of an example of my own as being raised. One of the rules in our household, and my parents were very lenient on curfew, especially as I got older. And it kind of changed depending on the situation and what I had asked to stay out late for to do. But one principle that remained was the later that I asked to stay out, all the earlier it was expected the next morning that I had to wake up. And so a lot of times on if it was a Sunday, if I were asking to stay out late on a Saturday night, then the rule was, okay, but you're getting up and going to 8 o'clock church service with your dad. And if it was a Friday night that I was staying out, he would wake me up all that much earlier that morning to help him around the house or do some work. And so it was this obedience of having to get up early. Now, I'll tell you right now that that was not exciting. It was not joyful to wake up at, 7 a.m. on a Saturday morning after being out really late when all my friends got to sleep until noon, right? It was, truthfully, drudgery to have to pull myself out of bed to do that. But there was joy. There was a lot of joy, actually. Though the first action was drudgery, as soon as I came down, there was an immediate sense of joy on my father's heart because I was being obedient to his rule. My obedience brought immediate joy to my father. And secondarily, then, shortly after, and I'd love to say it was immediate, but it wasn't. But shortly after that, it brought me joy. Seeing my father joyful in my obedience brought me joy as well because I liked it when my dad was happy. It was good for all of us, actually, when my father was happy. Even more than that, there was a long-term joy. As my dad saw that this principle that he was building into me, and just a rule like that, as I've looked back on it in my life, has seen it, it taught me a lot of lessons, right? But he, as he saw that his rule was building character traits into me, it brought him a long-term joy. And me, looking back on it, am joyful as I look back on that and think of the things that it taught me. And so there was an immediate joy from my father, a somewhat later immediate joy from me, a long-term joy from my father, a long-term joy from me, and even right now, as I share it with you, I share it with a smile on my face because of the joy that it brings. Obedience brings joy. Certainly, there's a point in the beginning that is difficult and requires of us and is drudgery. But as Jesus says, abide in my love and obey my commandments. That is the source of a joy and a full joy. We show our love to God through obedience to Christ and obedience to his commands. The scripture says it does two things. It pleases and brings glory to God our Father, verses 8 and 9, which ends up bringing us more joy because we are happy when we know that our Father is happy with us. And it's a joy in itself because it's good. Just as that principle that my dad was teaching into me has given me certain character traits that have brought me joy time and time again in my life. As we are obedient to the commands of Christ, they bring us joy just because they're good for us. So if you are seeking joy today, you're not going to find it in the culture, in the news, in the magic bullet or the Ginsu knives. It can only be found through a relationship with Jesus Christ. A relationship that starts on your knees in repentance, saying you're not good enough, but you're willing to place your life into the hands of the one who is good enough. A relationship with Christ through faith in him, and an agreement to follow him by obeying his commandments. If you're seeking joy today, it is only found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Secondly, if you've already made that decision, if you already have that joy, I want you to remember that this is a joy that is meant to be shared. Not locked up, not wrapped carefully and placed under the tree, but a joy to be shared with others. And I wonder, in the commotion before church today, as we were in the lobby, I wonder what you talked about. I wonder what's even on your mind right now, thinking, when is he going to get done? You know, the interesting thing about us as humans is that we talk about the things that we're interested in. We talk about the things that bring us joy. They are almost always on our lips and in our minds. Will you talk about the joy of Christ? Will you prioritize that as part of your life? I wonder if the joy of your relationship with Jesus was on your lips and minds today. And I challenge you during this next week, and we talked about this in Sunday school with the adults just a few hours ago. This week, right now, next Sunday is Christmas Eve. This week right now is a time in which, in our culture, that you have an open door to talk about Christ and your relationship with him, unlike any other week of the calendar, really. Almost everybody's mind, at least to some degree, is a little bit open and is a little bit thinking about Christ, Christmas, and what it means. You have an open door this week that you don't typically have throughout the rest of the year. Consider how you're going to use that. John 15. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full. Will you pray with me? Father, we pray for your joy. There are so many ways that this world seeks to steal our joy. Lord, there are so many substitutes out there that if we're honest with ourselves, that we fill ourselves with instead of the true joy that comes from a relationship with you. I pray that we would cast out all that junk and focus on you this next week. Lord, let your joy be in us and let it be full. Not leaving any room for substitutes, not leaving any room for sorrow or sadness, but Lord, let our joy in you be full. And I pray that as we take this week, Lord, that you would create an open door, that we could talk about what it means to have joy in a relationship with Christ. And it is his name that we pray. Amen.